excited to have the dad. I can know it.
Thanks, Jake, and thanks, Sarah, for reading our scripture this morning. And happy Easter, everyone. These are unusual circumstances. I don't think I remember ever celebrating Easter in this way in front of a laptop, but here we are, and at least we have Zoom to fellowship with each other. So the passage that Zara read was actually found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. So that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. And this passage is not what I call a classic Easter passage, but it's a wonderful Easter passage all the same. So let me give you a little background on 1 Peter here. The churches whom Peter was writing to, they're kind of like us, because they were living under a dark cloud of uncertainty about their future. The Apostle Peter and his churches were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and he identifies them in the very first verse as exiles. This means to say that they stood apart from the Roman Empire and the world they lived in. Roman society actually looked down upon Christians. They didn't worship the pagan gods of the Roman Empire. They refused to worship the emperor, and back in those days, that was considered a no-no. So they were like square pegs in round holes. They did not fit. And as a result, they experienced hardship and persecution and uncertainty in their life. And this has really been true for Christians throughout the centuries, for hundreds of years around the globe, yes, even our generation today. But in this passage, verse 6 stands out for me. It goes like this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Did you hear that right? Peter says, rejoice. Joy even in suffering and uncertainty. We heard that right. He meant rejoice. Praise God even as exiles and aliens in your own country. You know, Christian tradition tells us that the Apostle Peter in 64 AD was actually crucified by the Roman Emperor Nero. But before Peter died, he reminded his fellow followers of Jesus that even as they faced all kinds of suffering and trials of many kind, to give God praise because they have real living hope. They have real living hope. But how is that possible when you're living in less than desirable conditions? How can you praise God during a time of uncertainty when your future is murky? That's the question I want to answer this morning. Now, in verse 3, Peter begins by praising God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his joy is absolutely evident. But this is just his launching pad. His words of praise are one continuous sentence that actually flows from verse 3 all the way to verse 9. And we're not going to get even that far this morning. It's almost like you cannot contain this former jolly fisherman because he is absolutely overflowing with joy. You know, it reminds me when I twist off the cap of a Coke bottle after it's been rolling around in the car for a half an hour after coming home from shopping. And the foam starts spewing everywhere, and it will not stop flowing out. I can't contain it. And so like a gushing pop bottle, Peter is overflowing with praise as he suffers just like everyone else. So these are the reasons why we can still praise God. So number one, we can still praise God because by God's great mercy, he gives us new life. By God's great mercy, he gives us new life. So in the first part of verse 3, it says this, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Theologian Jürgen Moltmann expresses in one phrase the great span from Good Friday to Easter. He says this, God weeps with us so that we may someday laugh with him. I love that phrase. God weeps with us so that we may someday laugh with him. So what is mercy? Mercy is love. But probably more specifically, it really speaks of God's pity for us. He sees us in our sorry state, but he actually overflows with compassion for us. That's mercy. I wonder if that's your image of God. Did you know that God is a God of compassion and mercy? You know, I love merciful people, and I think we all do. These are the kind of people who are compassionate, and we need compassionate people, especially right now. But they are good at coming alongside people. They listen well. They spend time with people. They love without judgment. They weep with those who are weeping and are hurting. But we have to understand that in much greater measure, this is who our God is. He is a God of mercy. So when Jesus came into the world, he saw brokenness and his heart was broken. He had compassion for the sick and for the lepers, the brokenhearted, the dying. You know, sometimes when bad things happen, as they are happening right now, people ask the question, what's God doing about this? God, you're an all-powerful God. Why don't you do something about our problems right now? But we forget that God has already moved to help us. As we suffer under the threat of COVID-19, right now, 108,000 people worldwide have died because of this disease. And do you know what God is doing? He's weeping. He's weeping for every single person who has died and the families that grieve. He has compassion. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He wept for the world because he saw that they were lost in their sins and nothing we could do could save us from our own physical and emotional and spiritual death. Jesus wept, and he still is weeping for us and for this world. But the great mercy of God that Peter talks about, the mega mercy of God, is about Jesus' death on the cross for you and for me. He gave his own life out of compassion because of love for us and for the world. And there's a reason attached to it. He did it to give us new life, new birth, new creation, new hearts, and one day, new bodies. And so Ephesians 2, 4-5 says it in a different way. But because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You know, new birth implies a fresh start. And that's wonderful. It doesn't matter how you have lived in your past life. God wants to give you a fresh start. God forgives your sins in his great mercy, and he died in your place. He removed the great barrier of sin between us and himself that Andrea illustrated so well in that object lesson. He gives to anyone who believes in Jesus a brand new life where they are born again, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit of God. And so Jesus tried to explain to Nicodemus about being born again, and he concludes by saying, everyone who believes in him, that is Jesus, may have eternal life, a life that goes beyond the grave. The second reason why we're able to praise God is because of Jesus' resurrection, we have living hope. So verse 3 continues to say, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So because Jesus resurrected from the dead, everyone who has faith in Jesus is given living hope. Now, what's hope? Hope is a futuristic word. It points to what lies ahead of us. So when someone opens their heart or the hands of their heart to God, God gives to them new birth, new life through his Holy Spirit. God comes to live with you and in you. That is new birth, new life. Now, when a child is born, we celebrate. But we're not just celebrating their birth, the birth in itself. We celebrate because we have the expectation that this baby is going to grow up. And so we expect this baby is going to walk eventually, is going to run, and is going to talk, and is going to grow. I mean, isn't that the reason why we have birthday parties? We're celebrating their growth, right? We get excited with they turn 1, 2, 3, etc. We celebrate their growth. We celebrate their future. And so Peter is saying this new birth that's happened through the Holy Spirit leads to living hope into the future. So because of this new birth, we have this guaranteed living hope that lies out in the future. Now, living hope is extremely important, especially right now, as we suffer under the dark cloud of COVID-19. Because right now, for so many people, COVID-19 and all the implications of COVID-19, we can only see pain. We can only see a bleak future. And this troubles us greatly. It troubles a lot of people greatly in so many ways. Most of us have never seen anything like this in our lifetime. I mean, we're used to modern solutions, aren't we? Right? A pill for this, an app for that, and we hope we'll find a cure. That's the way this modern world has operated in the last maybe 100 years or so, maybe a little longer than that. But if we're going to stay on track, we need something that is able to pierce the darkness of this bleak future so that we can see way beyond into God's future, a vision of God's future. And so this living hope is not a dead hope. It's not a hope to get your old life back. That's not the hope that Jesus is talking about. Because guess what? You may not get your old life back. Things might be altered totally. Rather, this is a living hope that lasts for all eternity, that is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus spoke to Martha, who was grieving the loss of her brother Lazarus, and he said these profound words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me, will never die." And then he asks a question, which is appropriate for all of us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You see, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, it was that moment in history when God defeated sin and death and evil and Satan. He was piercing the darkness so that all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ can have this clear, absolutely crystal clear vision of God's future living hope. Well, this leads us to the third reason why we can praise God, and it's completely connected to what we just said, but it goes deeper. Thirdly, God has kept for us an inheritance in heaven. So this is verse 4 and 5. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter is basically showing you what's inside this box of living hope. And he's unpacking it. And what he finds in that box of living hope is what he calls our inheritance, our heavenly inheritance. And Paul says, or Peter says, this inheritance is kept for those who through faith are shielded by God's power until he returns again. The Bible says that those who have faith in Jesus are considered his children, sons of God, daughters of God. And so because of this, we are considered heirs, heirs of God. And because we're heirs, we are given the right to receive God's inheritance. You see, the point is that even while we suffer all kinds of trials, whether it be persecution, whether it be bad health, natural disasters, financial ruin, and have no future on this earth as exiles, whatever it may be, what waits on the other side of death is a certain hope of heavenly inheritance that is preserved in heaven for us. Three words are used to describe this inheritance, and these are great words. First of all, it says, it never perishes. Our inheritance will never rot or decay. I mean, that's just unheard of. So we all have homes. We got cars. We got RVs. We got boats. And guess what? We're fixing them all the time. They decay. But our heavenly inheritance is permanent. No fixing required. Then it says it never spoils. Our heavenly inheritance will never be defiled by sin, which is actually what made us unfit for the kingdom of God. But now as God's children, in our future inheritance, sin has absolutely no place in heaven. None. And finally, it never fades. Earthly wealth, fame, recognition, glory grows dim and loses its shine on earth. But our heavenly inheritance will always shine. It will always hold its value because it's about Christ. Our heavenly inheritance, Peter says, is kept in heaven for you. This means that God is the one who is preserving this inheritance. We don't earn it. We simply receive it by God's grace when we opened our hands in faith to God and received the free gift that he gave us. This is our living hope. Our living hope and the very reason why you and I on Easter Sunday can praise God even when there is just like murky uncertainty out there. We can still praise God. You know, January 1st this year came like a shock for me and my family. My dad was experiencing pain in his side, and I know I shared this with some of you before. And I happened to be with Dad and Mom in Calgary for the Christmas break. And so there I was when he took ill, and I took him to the care center nearby. Now, my dad is 94 years old, but we're not used to our dad getting sick. He's been very healthy for his age. So after I took him to the care center, after a battery of tests, the doctors looked concerned and they told us that they wanted to take my dad by ambulance to the Foothills Hospital where they could do a CT scan. Now, hours before the CT scan, Dad was sensing something. And we had hours to wait. And he started freely talking to me about his future. And it goes like this. He goes, "Hey, Dan, don't worry about a funeral." I was kind of taken aback by his complete openness. I says, "Okay, what do you mean?" And so he explained that what he really wanted to say is that he wanted a memorial service, which simply means that the body would not be there, but there still would be a service. And I says, okay. I didn't really know how to answer. I mean, suddenly you're talking about your memorial service? Come on, Dad. Hours later, now into the new year, Dad finally got the results of his CT scan, and after some confusion, it was finally determined that my dad had colon cancer and given months to a year to live. And so I was stunned, absolutely stunned. Well, the next day, the surgeon told my dad they felt it best that they should not do surgery because of his old age and other complications. And so there we were. My dad was dying. He was tired and he hardly slept. But when he received this heartbreaking news, what I saw was hope written all over his face. I mean, he even told the surgeon right on the spot, he says, "I'm in God's hands and heaven is waiting for me." No hesitation. You know, in this precious hours I spent with Dad, I read Psalm 23 to him. And then I got to verse 4, which says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." I paused and I said to Dad, this sure has new meaning, doesn't it, Dad? And he nodded and heartily agreed. In our time together, he didn't say a whole lot, but when he did, he wanted to talk about heaven. I could tell he was longing for it. Not because he was not certain that he would get there, nothing of the sort, but because he knew that God's heavenly inheritance would be his. The last verse of Psalm 23 says this, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My dad knows he has living hope because he has already put the hands of his heart out and said, "Lord, I received your free gift of salvation through Jesus. I received your Holy Spirit. I repent of my sins and I trust you for all of my life." And he's able to do that because of what Jesus has done for all of us. Jesus came and in his great mercy, he died for you. And then 3 days later, he rose again to show us that he is who he said he was, the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. So having faith in Jesus and what he's done for you is what pierces the darkness, any darkness, so that you and I can see this living hope of Christ and this living heavenly inheritance. These are the reasons why you can praise God on Easter Sunday and the days and the weeks and the years ahead. These are the reasons why you can have joy despite what is happening around us. Let's pray. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, in so many ways, our hearts are in pain. We don't know the future. There is uncertainty. We're afraid because our financial situation is going to be radically altered. Maybe there are those who have loved ones who have this virus and they're vulnerable and we grieve. But on this Easter Sunday, Lord, we turn to you and we put our faith in you and say, Lord, I trust you. And I can trust you because you have, in your mercy, died for us and resurrected for us and promised us new birth, a living hope, eternal inheritance that lasts forever. May that be our rock. May that be our security. May this faith and belief in what you've done for us help us to pierce the darkness of our soul and discouragement, and so we can see beyond to a vision, your vision of a living hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.